This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right. Welcome to another edition of Reinvention Radio. I am your host, Steve Ulscher, along with the round eyebrowed Mary Goulet. I'm never going to get it right. Rounded eyebrow Mary Goulet, and the Chinese Richard Otey. So thanks.
At least you're back to number two.
At least you're back to number two.
Kelly, sorry.
You called her Kelly. She's been going.
There you go. Man, you
My name is Mary Goulet. I am the co-host of Reinvention Radio.
Yes. And it says so on the website.
These two knuckleheads.
And it says so on the website. So if it says it on the website,
you know it's true.
All right, very cool.
That last show was a great interview.
Okay, so for those who are listening to the podcast right now and you're going, what the hell is Mary talking about? She's talking about, what did we call it? Reinventing 90 Below Leadership is what we officially called that show. And that was with Antarctic Mike, and that was pretty fun.
It was great.
Oh, man, good guy, fun story. And I got to tell you, he's got to be a little off his rocker.
He's insane.
Yeah, I mean, because...
No, I met him right after he finished both of those races.
And was he still cold?
He built this awesome speaking empire. Internationally.
But that's the thing. I mean, like in the speaking gig, I mean, honestly, you know, look, Mike's a good looking guy. He's got, you know, the white thing going on. He's white. He's got two arms. He's got two legs. Realistically, he's going to have a hell of a time trying to be a speaker, right? Because you got to have like a shtick. I mean,
right.
If you're like a, you know, if you're a paraplegic, you know, and you're like in a wheelchair and like you fell over and something happened, like you can do that kind of stuff. Like
and
if you lost
all
your
all over the speaking industry,
right? Like if you, yes. You know, you got stuck in a rock and you had to saw off your own arm and you're there for like 27 hours. They make a movie about you. You can go out. You can, you know, I mean, you got things to talk about. Average white guy. We got nothing.
Oh, especially in comedy. You can't do shit.
We got nothing.
Comedy.
We got to have things happen. So Mike, you know, probably a happy life, you know, had things that were great, married, probably has kids, lives in Southern California. All's good. He's like, fuck, I got to do something.
Nothing.
I got nothing. So I'm going to go run in Antarctica, and he's going to do that. And not only once, but twice. So pretty cool show. Really, really, really interesting to hear that story. So definitely encourage you to check out that podcast. That would be Reinventing 90 Below Leadership. And for those who have subscribed and rated and reviewed Reinvention Radio, big hugs, big thank you on that. And this episode of Reinvention Radio is brought to you by... we don't have any sponsors yet.
I was just going to throw
liquor.com. Exactly.
There,
so,
oh
yeah, we're just going to start throwing in liquor.com just randomly. So we got to get some sponsors. So if you have money and you want to give it to us, contact Kelly. Kelly@SteveUlscher.com.
Why does she get it?
Okay, contact Mary. Mary@SteveUlscher.com, and she will take your check. But yeah, we got to get some sponsors. We got to work on that.
Yes, we do.
Because Mike got a sponsor to run to the Antarctic and do his thing. We got to get a sponsor on Reinvention Radio here. So, Rich, I'm tasking you with that.
Think about that.
Get us somebody who has money. You know what? We're going to get Wuv. Wuv is going to be our sponsor. Okay? So Wuv's got money, and he can fill stadiums with 100,000 people. We're going to get Wuv. So if you didn't hear that episode, that would be Reinventing Periscope with Richard Otey and Wuv of POD, who, by the way, I had no clue who the guy was when he was there. Thanks for the heads up on that once again.
Like, that was my way to mess with you.
Yeah, really?
I was like, I'm keeping this 15 minutes on point.
Yeah, you are. Right,
I'm bringing in a rock star.
And you did. So speaking of messing around with like people's heads and that sort of thing, because you know I segue into absolute nonsense at this point. Did you guys? I mean, you don't own a TV. Who doesn't own a TV? Rich doesn't own a TV, right?
You don't own a TV.
No, I own a TV.
He owns lots of TVs.
Well,
yeah.
You just talk smack.
I just throw things out to see what's going to stick. But just in case you were like sleeping for a while, they found water on Mars. You know, you saw that, right? So pretty interesting because evidently people like Elon Musk are going to start flying folks out there and they're going to try to colonize it. So,
and then who will be the first one up there? Antarctic Mike.
Antarctic Mike will be the first one out there because
right?
or evidently yeah. or Matt Damon. Because clearly
Mars Mike, the Martian.
Yeah. So Matt Damon's out there right now and he's already checking it out and he's a botanist. See, that's the one. It's like an analyst. It's like that kind of thing. You are totally and completely.
Right,
so speaking of Elon Musk, have you guys, do you follow like anything that this guy does?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So
I thought it was a cologne.
And it is a cologne. That's how it started. And then he's like, I need to branch out into something else. So he became an eau de toilette. Right? What, by the way, is that like the worst name ever? Like when they sold you women on like this idea of putting something on that smells, that was the name they came up with. It was like toilet water.
It's French for something more.
Toilet water.
No, it's not.
Eau de toilette. That's what it means. Toilet water. Smell of toilet. No, that's what it means. Smell of toilet. Toilet. No. All right. Fine. So
Massengill.
Which is, of course, your favorite
you
scent.
You said that out loud.
We finally got rich. It took 3 months. It took 3 months.
But you corrupted him.
We finally got rich there.
This is
there.
My nice guy.
This is your nice guy. It's too late. We've lost him now. He's over the edge. But by the way, so Musk is doing some like amazing things with Tesla. I have to admit, I love that fucking car. Have you been in a Tesla? Rich, have you been in a Tesla?
I've been in one. I didn't get to go far. I didn't get to drive it, but I've been in one.
Did you at least go off the line with it?
Oh, yeah. It was amazing.
I mean, it's unreal. Mary's like, yeah, it's a car.
Who cares?
Whatever, right?
One of my clients has one. She drove it out from Arizona, and I'm like, okay, whatever.
Oh, man. Because it's straight,
she
like...
She keeps stopping and along the way to charge it back up.
All right. Well, they're working on that. They're going to get to a 600-mile charge, and that's going to really change the game. And then, of course, they're going to the whole autonomous car route, which is where the cars will drive themselves, and that's going to happen very, very soon. I don't quite understand how they're going to get that on the road kind of thing, because like, what are you going to do? Like, you're going to create like a separate lane for the autonomous cars, because you're never going to get rid of trucks. I mean, trucks still have to move stuff from point A to point B. You're never going to get rid of, you know, people who have their antique cars. I mean, they're going to want to still drive their cars or sport. You're never going to get rid of cars. So how are you going to get these self-driving cars
this
on the road?
This keeps you up at night.
You know, these are the kinds of things I think about. And you know what Musk thinks about? He thinks about how he can reinvent the car industry. We're going to have to get Musk on. And,
it is toilet water. I'm disappointed.
I told you it's toilet water. See? They sold you guys on that. See? And you guys bought it. Hook, line, and sinker. They're like, yes, I need toilet water. And the more expensive it...
I don't understand that.
And if you look historically at perfume, like the bottles keep getting smaller and smaller.
And the prices keep going up.
And the prices keep going up.
It's like Girl Scout cookies.
I went to buy my wife some perfume.
And bikinis.
Not terribly long. And thank God for the micro bikini.
More expensive the smaller they get.
Yes, that's true.
And let me be the first to say, I am a fan of the micro bikini. I will not hide that. And they don't hide anything when they wear them. So I think it works out good for
Pretty much.
Of us. Musk, we got to get that guy on the show. Reinventing the whole car industry. Very, very cool. They just came out. He basically, you know, leads this whole thing. He just came out with an SUV that's really just going to just throw everything on its ear. What I love about, did you see it, Rich?
I haven't seen it.
Okay, so it's $132,000. $132,000 SUV. Okay, you know, it's not your average SUV. But what's so cool about it is they have these, like, have you ever seen a Lamborghini? You know, that's a car.
I saw one on the freeway being pulled. It was on top of a tow truck.
It was being towed.
Yeah.
There's just something in something, a lime green
Lamborghini.
Actually, I showed you that picture a couple weeks ago of when it flooded in Ocean Beach here in the San Diego area, most of San Diego that had the underground garages flooded. A friend of mine has this Lamborghini totally
submersed. Oh my gosh.
And they just got it like 2 weeks ago, which sucks for them. But one of the things that the Lamborghini does that's so cool is like they've got those like Batman doors, right? I mean, they like open like they're like wings and that it's just sweet. This SUV that he created has sort of like regular front doors, but the back doors are Lamborghini doors. And so they do this fly up perch thing.
You mean the passenger doors?
The passenger doors. So the passenger doors, like they do that Lamborghini thing. They go straight up. And I mean,
hit you in the head.
I think I did see a picture of
it. It's pretty sweet though. I mean, because this guy's like, that's what I love. I love people who think differently. And let's be honest. I mean, the car industry, you know, has been thinking a lot of the same ways for a very long time. I mean, the car companies had the ability to create electric cars decades ago. But special interest money, you know, the oil folk and everybody else kept saying, you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. If you do that, we're out. So the pressures of the money just basically pushed him away from entering into that arena. Musk said, fuck it. I just sold PayPal for, you know, $5 billion or whatever he sold it for. I'm going to go into this and I'm going to create my own cars. But one of the things that people have been talking about for a long time is like, you know how in the back seat, and you can appreciate this because you have kids, you know how in the back seat, like the buckets or whatever you call those things, the benches, like it literally just kind of sits on the floor, right? And so there's no reason for it to just sit on the floor. You could use like little like poles, stands, whatever you want to call it, to hold up the seat. So what he did. And it's just like these little things that count. And this is what I've been telling my wife for years. It's the little things that count. And, you know, fortunately, yeah, Rich got that one. Thank you. Mary's looking at me with this perplexed list. Yeah, you got it? Yeah.
Good thing, huh?
Exactly.
You know
what? Wait, I got to show. I've been telling her for 18 years that this is 12 inches right
yes,
here.
And I just, know.
Yeah, and so yeah, if you, yeah, it's like, yeah, exactly, which it's not. But on this, but on the back seat of this car, it's like they've got it like on these little like risers with these little pole thingamajiggers. So anyways, you can store stuff under the seats because it's just wasted space, right? See, like people who
it's like
think
under the bed.
It's like under the bed. Exactly. So what do you call those things? And if you have that answer, it's 866-977-2346. And hit
you
number
know,
one and join
are
the
just
conversation.
Store the goldfish under there.
They're going to, well, of course, it's going to, you know, you're going to end up with all the crap that nobody wants under that. That's for sure. I mean, all the gum and all the candy wrappers and everything
idea.
Else. But nevertheless, it's those sort of attention. I mean, I love attention to detail. I used to be in the catalog business, and my designer hated me because, like, I would get, like, so finite. Like, if the period was, like, half of space beyond where it should be,
yeah,
I would be like,
about that
oh, my
too.
God. So, that, anyway, I'm just, like, I'm a stickler for detail, and I love what
Except
Musk...
Except when it comes to the show.
You no, know, this is... You know, I actually... I don't know if you know this or not, but I spent hours and hours and hours designing and laying out and creating a storyboard for each episode. So I brought that with me, and I'll reveal that after the break. Just
I was
going to
say, where is the storyboard?
It's at White Wade has it right now. He's holding it. And yeah, we get the wave. He's got it right there. All right, so after the break, I'm going to show you the storyboard. But more importantly, we're going to talk about somebody else who is reinventing an entire industry because we're going to be talking to Mary Sheehan, and I believe it might actually be Sheehan or Sheehan, or she, well, she'll tell us exactly what it is.
She,
exactly. But we're going to be reinventing pill pushers because we're going to be talking about the pharmacy industry, all the drugs, all that fun stuff. Interesting. We'll be right back with more Reinvention Radio.
She's probably into autonomous cars.
I'm thinking right after this.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What Is Your What? Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher. And, Mary Goulet. Yeah, see,
right.
That's funny. It was like, it wasn't even like a raised hand, like, I'm here. It was a raised hand, like, if you don't put me second, you're going to get one. And, Richard Otey in the house as well. All right, so let's bring in our guest of the day, which is Mary Sheehan.
Me?
Yeah,
okay.
That would be you. You're running the board right there.
Yes.
And Mary
I'm
is.
Looking at her website.
Well, see, you're reading, you're catching up. This is the kind of research you should have done earlier, but you know, we won't hold that against you because I know you're a quick learner. You're like, you're a fast learner, like
sharp.
Rich. Sharp. Exactly. All right. So, Mary, are you with us right now?
Yes, I am. Hi, Steve.
Hey.
Hi, Mary. Hi, Richard.
Hey.
Hi.
How
Hi,
are you doing?
Hi.
Oh, man. So, we actually have two Marys in the house right now. That's
right.
When one Mary isn't enough, you got two Marys. Exactly. All right. So, you've got a really.
A good sign.
It is a good sign because Mother Mary took care of Jesus and you are going to take care of us, right? Isn't that sort
That's
of how
right.
it went down? I'm a Jew. I heard these stories. They come from somewhere. I think my wife might have actually told me at some point about that because she's like, here's a t-shirt and it had a picture of the Mother Mary on it. And she's like, I want you to go out next time we go to synagogue to wear this. And I wore it and I got some funny looks and I had to get the
That's
whole story.
Wow.
So,
and I love
Mary. That is so crazy. I was raised Catholic and then converted to Judaism.
See?
Oh,
so
really?
It's kind of funny to be, to be in synagogue with a name like Mary Sheehan. They're like, how did you get in? I'm like, yeah, they left a back door open for Catholics. But
and,
yeah, it's true. I like to say that, yes, I was named after Jesus' mother, and Mary, being raised Catholic, was known as the untier of knots. So if you had big, difficult, confusing problems, you would pray to Mary, and she would untie the knot. So I think that's kind of cool, really.
She's awesome.
You know, for those of us with her namesake. Yeah, it's cool.
Pretty apropos. And according to the Pope, they're still leaving the back door open in most churches right now. Okay.
Yes, we can just go from religion to religion.
Exactly. All right. So, and we don't have to talk about Kim Davis and why in the hell the Pope would meet with her. Do you know that lady, by the way, do you know that she's been married four times? The woman who rejects people
same
from
sex
getting
marriage.
Same-sex marriage. She's been married four times. So for her, it's okay. Ooh, I messed up once. Ooh, I messed up twice. Ooh, I messed up three. I mean, it's like, really? And anyway, the Pope spent way too much time with her. All right, so Mary Sheehan, do tell us about your story, because you have a pretty interesting history in terms of where you started and where you are now, and you got hit by a truck.
I did. That helped me reinvent myself. See, back in the day, there was no Steve that I knew of. There was no Steve Ulscher, so apparently God had to send a truck to help me reinvent myself. And that is literally what happened. I've been in healthcare for a very long time, and I think like a lot of healthcare workers, I was overwhelmed and burned out and depressed and anxious and just had, I was just suffering in healthcare. It's such a tough, tough thing. And I'm also into alternative medicine. And so although I, you know, dispense pills and things like of that nature, I was secretly using alternative medicine, in my other life. So I really was never a patient in the healthcare system, right? I've been a worker, but not a patient. And then one day I was literally hit by a truck on my way to work, and I became a patient in the healthcare system. Like, oh my God, I used to say, the only way you're getting me in this system is via ambulance. So, you know, be careful what
Ouch,
you wish
don't
for, right?
Bring that on.
Right? Wow. I know. I don't know what I was thinking. So, but I've since learned, you know, you have to watch what you say to yourself and watch what you put out there. But it really helped me see the system itself from a different perspective. And that really helped me reinvent myself. And I decided to create a program and a kind of a support system, coaching and teaching for the healthcare providers themselves, because what I realized is the workers in the system, not just the pharmacists, but the physicians and the nurses, are really suffering. And that's where the healing, from my perspective, I thought it would be a good use of my time, talent, and energy to start healing, helping the healers within the system heal so that we can continue.
Yeah, so I went to school for my holistic health practitioner license. And there is a saying, healer, heal thyself. The sickest people in the organization were the teachers. And you're like, dude, what is your problem?
Have you seen the statistics, Mary? Like how many physicians commit suicide every year? How many nurses are overwhelmed? The physicians, the nurses, the pharmacists. Like, I created a program. I started with pharmacists when I was reading that 50% of pharmacists wanted to quit their jobs. I'm like, wait a minute, I want to quit my job. Wait, that's me.
Well, you know Mary? When I go to the pharmacist, they are not happy people. They don't smile.
I know. My tribe is a miserable tribe, Mary.
It's like the cobbler, you know, where has the kids and the kids don't, the shoe cobbler and the kids don't have shoes. It's like the pill pushers need to be taking a bit of their own medicine they're pushing out. Because I'm telling you, the right pill can do miracles for how you're feeling.
Yeah, but why are they so bummed out?
And it can. I mean, it certainly can, but I think workplace burnout is a bigger problem than just one pill can solve. From my research and from my understanding, it needs a multifaceted approach. It's like you've got to get the people within the system well. And, you know, unfortunately, wellness doesn't come in a bottle. We need a more holistic approach to the healthcare system. Like, we need to heal. We need healing all around. I mean, we are one of the sickest industrialized countries on the face of the earth, and we spend a lot of money on our system. So we have a very complicated, expensive system, and people are by and large still pretty sick. So something is clearly wrong.
Well,
so I was kind of peeling that back to who's taking care of the sick people.
Okay,
more sick people, apparently.
You created this whole thing after you got hit by a truck, because I want to know why you put yourself in the position to be hit by a truck Or how did you get there?
I was just going to work in Ohio, Mary. I'm like, live in Ohio. I was going to work. Anytime you go to a work in February,
she didn't do it on
Ohio,
purpose. It's not like she's like, I'm going to go get hit by a truck
today.
You
know, I need...
Wait.
You're putting yourself in harm's way. You get on the highway.
Because here's the thing. So Mary really wanted to be a speaker. And Mary is a white woman. And she's a white woman with two arms and two legs.
Yeah.
And if you listen to...
I needed a trauma.
Exactly.
I did.
She needed something. So she's like, what kind
of... I needed a story.
Right.
Yeah.
So she looked at all the different
Absolutely.
Trucks and she was like, ooh, man, 18-wheeler? No. Cement truck? Ooh,
oh, no, that's
not...
I went for. No,
you went straight for the 18-wheeler. Okay, so there
Absolutely.
You go.
So you were driving
yeah.
to work and...
Yeah, I was driving to work and the roads just changed very suddenly. It's funny because before I left the house, I had a feeling that something bad was happening. But I also had I felt intuitively something really bad is going to happen to me. But I also felt intuitively that it was going to change my life and put me on the path that I would walk for a very long time. It's hard to explain. It all kind of happened under the radar, you know, of my consciousness. And I had kind of visions of myself driving down the road. I'm like, this is the weirdest car ride ever. Why am I seeing my face smashed? And why do I have this feeling I'm never going to work again? And, you know, kind of strange things like that. And then, you know, in Ohio, the roads can change very quickly. And that's just what happened. The roads just simply changed so fast. And there was a big thing happening behind me that I literally never saw coming. And I was the last stop. The truck, the 18-wheeler, hit me on my left side and kind of stopped everything. And I remember when I regained consciousness, I remember thinking, like I heard this inner voice saying, pay attention to everything that happens from here on out. This is really important for you. And, you know, I did. It literally changed everything. And apparently I'm a very stubborn girl or I wouldn't have needed a truck because there were plenty of signs that I should have been doing something else with my career. I should have been healing in a different way and offering my talents in a different way. And like a lot of people, you know, we just don't get it. I'm sure you see that all the time, Steve, when people come to you to reinvent themselves. You know, there's always clues that you need to be doing something different. And unfortunately, some of us need a truck.
Yeah, the universe is like, hello, all
yeah.
right, here comes
yeah.
a 2x4.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And apparently it already had the 2x4. I needed something even bigger than that. It's like, you know, just... And I had to literally be knocked.
Here.
I mean, I lost my body. I lost my mind. You know, I had PTSD, horrible. My body was a mess. You know, when you what's left when you lose your mind and your body, your spirit. You know, the spirit's like, oh yes, we mm-hmm. can start
right, to. So here's what I'm trying to understand, though. I mean, look. Obviously, all of your friends that were in this industry, or at least you know, if you're in a room with four of them, two of them want to off themselves. So you know, you got four people in a room, two pharmacists, two doctors, whatever. You know, two of them want to off themselves. But you, at the same token, were part of that industry. You knew that you were
yes.
miserable, but you're still in
yes.
that industry. You're still pushing pills, no?
Well, I found little ways, though, that I didn't realize. That's why I created the problem with the little ways that I found. I had found little ways to bring joy to my life. I had found ways of eating, ways of exercising, ways of communicating, ways of dealing with conflict, little interesting ways that I created for myself to make my job fun, and I was changing my customers, and I was making them treat me better, and I was changing my corporate culture. And I wasn't thinking anything of it. At that point, I just thought, oh, I'm just one chick surviving in a bad situation. It wasn't until after the truck that I realized I can do something with that. Those methods work. I could teach it to other people. I can help the people in healthcare feel better, have more energy, love their jobs a little bit more. Yes, do we need healthcare overhaul? We do. But while we're in the system, there's definitely ways that I show people how they can find some joy in their work and connect with people in a different way.
Okay, so I can understand possibly why medical doctors, nurses, dentists, you know, may not be happy in their career because of burnout and seeing so many sick people or people are
yes.
dying and that, you know, that whole culture of the hospital itself. But pharmacists are next to Vons in the Rite Aid. Why are they so bummed?
They're counting pills, Mary. That's
so
their
what?
Job.
Yeah,
it's one,
well,
two,
because of the
three,
pressure. Like
four.
It's right. It's so boring. And we count by five. So
and,
that,
and then
that's
when they
sorry,
lose,
sorry.
And then when they lose count, they've got to start
all over.
Yeah. You know, it's like
we do,
right?
Well, and it's that's. But that's it exactly, and it's the same reason with the doctors. We're inundated. What I spend my day doing is fixing physician mistakes and arguing with insurance companies, and the customers are cranky because of their copays, and I'm looking at pill bottles, and then my bosses want me to do all these shots, and they keep track of my numbers. Metrics and how fast you're working, how much you're doing. And I would come home and I'm like, I did this many, I did this. And my husband would say, that's lovely, Mary. Now I'm taking care of the patients. I'm the patients.
Right, those people, the people that are actually paying for, you know, your your livelihood. All right, so let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and we will be back with Mary Sheehan and more about reinventing pill pushers on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio as we're talking to Mary Sheehan of Prescriptions for Happiness. And actually, that is the website as well, prescriptionsforhappiness.com. So, Mary, on the break here, we were just throwing around a couple of different questions and thoughts. And, you know, occasionally we actually think about stuff here. And one of the things that
good.
You know, congratulations, right? So one of the things that we were kind of wondering is, well, first and foremost, like, what do you learn in pharmacy school? Like, why do you even go? I mean, because ostensibly you're just kind of the go-between, right? Between the doctor and the patient. And it's not like you can say, oh, no, they prescribed you Xanax. What you really need is crack. I mean, like, you can't change what the doctor suggested.
We have a little bit of power. I mean, we can, like, I call it leading the witness. Like, I can call the doctors and try to nudge them toward one thing versus another. If I catch a drug interaction, oh, this isn't going to mix well with this one, I think you should consider that. So, yeah, we do know so much about chemistry. We know so much about chemistry and biology and how the drugs work in the body and how the body works on the drugs, which is fun and cool. And you know, then if we had time to apply that and helping the providers, you know, the physicians and the patients instead of just fixing mistakes or arguing with insurance companies. But that's it. And education is a good point because we're certainly not taught communication. So I teach how to communicate, how to connect. A big problem is confrontation in healthcare that bums people out, workplace confrontation, patient confrontation. I teach that because we're not taught that. That gives you a lot of stress. We're not stressed because we don't know our chemistry, right? That's the bottom line. And we do, we are taught just a lot of biochemistry and chemistry. We're not taught how to count by fives, but we can.
Well, so what made you choose that as your focus?
To be a pharmacist? To be a pharmacist? You know, it's one of those things, like any other kid in the 80s, I had no idea what I wanted to do. All I knew was, well, I knew I liked science, and I knew I was fascinated by health and healing, and I really should have taken another route. And I'm getting there. It's just, you know, it's taken a little while to get to another avenue, but that's why. I think, like you guys know, a lot of people aren't trained toward their gifts or talents. You're just kind of, I wanted to find something that would, I don't know, give me job security and maybe something I could do part-time and raise my family. I wasn't really thinking about my gifts and my talents. I didn't really think along those lines until I was in my 40s.
But I think a lot of people do that.
I wanted to do.
Yeah, we're allowed with the internet to reinvent ourselves like crazy. I had a neighbor that lived across the street and he was an attorney. So his whole thought process was, well, I'm really smart. I want to go to law school. I want to be an attorney. And then when he's in it 15 years, he's suffering from migraines every day because he hates his job.
Yeah.
He hates it.
Exactly.
So, let's be real here there, Mary. What I'm curious about, and I think we know this to be true, that at some point, you're just going to end up with a robot as a pharmacist, right? I mean, because realistically, that's a job that can be done in this automated way, right? I mean, you can have this sort
of
little parts of the job. Because one of the questions that, you know, we were going over here on the break is why isn't there like a pharmacist sort of in the doctor like complex, right? Because I mean, you go to these complexes and there's like, you know, a million different doctors there. There should be a pharmacist, I would think, there, but you got to go to Rite Aid or Walgreens or CVS or whatever it is.
No, and, it's true.
Why don't the pills go straight from the doctor?
The simple answer is money. If the pharmacist is not attached to the end product, the pill, because remember, the pill is where the money is. If the pharmacist isn't attached to the pill, who is paying the pharmacist? Mm-hmm. That's what it comes down to. I did help a physician put a pharmacy in his office. That was great fun.
Yeah.
And then you've got the pharmacist attached to the pills, but he's also running around helping the physicians prescribe and pick the right chemistry. The physicians are fantastic diagnosticians. That's what they do. But we really do understand chemistry in the pills. And it's really because of the money.
And you got to be real here, too, because you damn well know that the pills that are being prescribed are, well, the doctors are being, well, let's just say incentivized to prescribe that particular medicine, right? So, I mean, you have lots of different options on how to treat things, and clearly there are there are pills that are recommended more than others, right? I mean, you've got, and I know you suffered, and we share this, I mean, because you're open about it. I mean, you suffered from depression for a number of years, and that's something that I battled with, and right? I mean, I think I battled with it for decades as well. But fortunately, you know, there's some good pills out there that you can take and some good,
not for all of us.
Ooh, we just got censored there.
I mean, it's just not, and it has to be part of a larger plan. I mean, if you're suffering, and the reason is because you're really not using your gifts and talents and doing what you were put on the earth to do, like, what do you say, find your what is your what? If you haven't found your what, there's always going to be a part of yourself that goes unexpressed and kind of pushed down. So is it a matter of who you really are is being pushed down and not fully expressed? That, to me, was the manifestation of my depression. Could I bump up my serotonin levels? For me, that wasn't really the answer. And for a lot of people, that is. But the patients I see, they really do take the pills for the wrong reasons. That's another big problem. I don't like my husband. I don't like my kids. I don't like my job. That's a big one. Give me a pill. Okay, we follow up in 6 months. Do you still like your job? I still hate my job, but I don't care as much because I have the pills. So we got to kind of watch that. And I do think, too, that the pill peak has happened. I think 2013 was the peak in the amount of prescription drugs sold. I don't think we're ever going to get back there. So that only means one thing, that they're not, they do a lot of miraculous things, but they don't do everything. They're not going to get this country well. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to solve all of our healthcare woes, for sure.
So
if they were, they would have by now.
Speaking, the number of pills that are being pushed right now in 2015 are actually on the decline then from the height. So 2013 represented the height of the most medicine or pills or whatever you want to call it being dispensed.
That's why you see, pay attention, you see biologicals and those really expensive medications that treat things in a different way, like specialty medications for Crohn's and various skin diseases. Cancer is going to be big, you know, those drugs, but we don't give a lot of those out in the pharmacy, in the retail pharmacy anyway. But your run-of-the-mill diabetes and like depression and hypertensive meds, that's peaked. We need to do something else because we're still very hypertensive and we still have tons of type 2 diabetes. So the pills clearly aren't doing all of it. Of course they're helping, of course.
Yeah, but I mean, let's...
But we need a more holistic approach.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that at all. I do think that it starts, at least in terms of the things that aren't genetic, right? I mean, like you said, the cancers, the diabetes, although some would argue diabetes is preventable, but that's for another discussion when we reinvent diabetes. And Richard, you'll be taking the lead on that one because we know that your blood sugar levels are always low. All right, so, but one of my questions...
What are you talking about?
Nobody knows. So one of my questions, though, is, you know, when you look at the prescription space, if you will, when you look at the whole world of medicine, for that matter, I mean, we all know, or at least I think we know, that there is no money in the cure, right? I mean, nobody wants to cure anything because there's no money in that. So,
well, it's the system. The system is a problem, yeah.
Because ostensibly what's going to happen is, I mean, let's just say, you know, they cure cancer. Oh, geez. I mean, what are people going to do? They're going to run around. I mean, think about the you know, you talk about trickle-down economics. I mean, think about what's going to happen if you cure cancer, right? I mean, like, there's no drugs. You don't need that. So all of those folks lose all their money. The doctors who are oncologists or whatever else, I mean, you know, they lose all their money. The hospitals themselves. And it's just like we were talking about the car industry earlier. I mean, when you get to the autonomous cars, think about how that disrupts everything. I mean, you lose the insurance companies go away, the body shop companies go away, you know, and it's just like you can kind of run down the, you know, the whole spectrum there. The gas, I mean, hell, the gas stations go away because all the autonomous cars are going to be electric. So, I mean, in the world of medicine, people don't want to help you find a cure. They don't want to help you get over whatever.
Really,
it's a Band-Aid.
Do you think, I mean, yes, they want the money, but Mary, do you believe that these pharmaceutical companies really don't want to find a cure?
The pharmaceutical companies, I don't even know that I can speak to that. I do know that most pharmacists, nurses, and physicians really care, really want to help, and are just kind of lost in this ginormous monstrosity of a system that unfortunately is largely run by insurance companies and drug companies. What is their intention? I mean, you can't, okay, they're a company. A company's not a person. You'd have to say, well, you CEO or you guy who's doing the research, they're two different guys. Does the guy doing the research for cancer care? Damn right he cares. He cares a lot. Like, he really wants to do something. Does the CEO, what's their motivation? I don't know. I don't. That's like, to me, when I start thinking that big, that's where a lot of my colleagues and I butt heads. Well, there's nothing we can do about it. The drug companies are just running everything, and that's it. So we might as well just sit here powerless and put our heads in our pill bottles and just count them, and who cares if we're crabby? We get our paycheck at the end of the day. And that's where I look at it a little bit differently. You can't just think, God, I'm so powerless in the face of this monstrosity.
Right. Well, and you are in a unique position because most people are either on the medical side or the holistic side. So when I had my kids,
right,
I home birthed them. And they medical people were freaking out on me, like, what are you doing? You're a terrible person. And I'm like, dude, this is how I roll. So you are in the middle. You're trying to convert these people into the land of the positive and the hopeful. And they're...
And alternative medicine has a role, absolutely. But when I was hit by the truck, I didn't call my homeopath. I went to the emergency room. I didn't fix my nose with acupuncture. I called the surgeon.
Did
I use that other stuff too? Yeah, I did. You know, it's kind of finding that balance of what's going to work. I do walk in both worlds. There's plenty of judgment on both sides. I actually teach at the local medical/pharmacy school. I teach an alternative medicine class there.
Nice.
And I teach it not to sway them from their drugs, but so they stop judging.
Right.
And they stop being so judgmental, because I'm telling you, doctors, your patients are using that stuff. They're sneaking off to the Reiki practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking some vitamins, and they're not telling you about it. And they're not telling you because you judge them.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do this. I've got there's so much more to talk about here, and time just flies when you're having fun. So really curious about what you are doing to help solve the problem, and also really curious about some of the pills. So more with Reinvention Radio after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio as we are reinventing pill pushers today with Mary Sheehan of prescriptionforhappiness.com. And Mary, you also do you do some speaking on the subject as well, correct? What sort of things are you out there preaching right now?
Am I preaching out now? Well, so, I give a lot of talks on how to combine your pills with alternative medicine. I teach a lot of tips and tricks in the alternative medicine world. I get some really interesting questions, even in the pharmacy, about alternative medicine. Sometimes people are very confused about that. I talk about my truck accident and how I personally overcame, how it helped me overcome a lifelong of anxiety and depression. Finding my true voice, things like that.
Yeah, speak to that a little bit. I mean, that's a pretty big life event to get hit by.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and you were unconscious. How long were you in the hospital? What did you break?
I was so lucky. It could have been a lot worse. I broke my nose, the nose that I always hated because it was crooked, and I broke it. So, again, be careful what you wish for. Broke my nose. My ribs were bruised. I mean, I was like, you know, the spinal thing. I still have some stuff with the spine that's off, but nothing that it could have been. I had to have my nose fixed and was off work for a while. The hardest thing truly was the PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
That was the hardest, and not have control of my mind.
Yeah, but fortunately there's pills you can take for that and alternative medicine options you can
really
take for that
though.
As well. For PTSD.
No pills for PTSD.
There aren't.
Yeah.
No, there's got to be some kind of anti-anxiety.
If you look at the studies, PTSD is best treated with things like biofeedback and other kinds of therapy.
Biofeedback.
I use horses as biofeedback.
I'll give you some feedback
horses,
right now. you don't have to pay me. I'll give
I love biofeedback.
Right. All right. Let me ask you this.
Cool.
So, Mary, question for you.
Which
and,
one?
You know, well,
yeah.
Yes, both. So here's the thing. So Rich and I were talking about the hot, you know, prescription girls that come into the doctor's offices and they can make, you know, ridiculous amounts of money. Mary Glay was actually saying that these, you know, prescription girls can make like, you know, $300,000 a year as a drug rep. I mean, so there's a lot of money in the drugs. What are some of the most, I mean, I've got some ideas, but you push these pills. What are the most popular pills right now?
What is popular? I think the statin drugs are still pretty popular.
What does that mean?
The drugs for cholesterol, to lower cholesterol, are still very popular.
Like a Lipitor kind of thing. Yeah.
Which is a great name. I want a job naming drugs. I think that's a great name. And the diabetes drugs.
Why is that
drugs,
a great name?
So,
yeah, what do you love
Lipitor?
About Lipitor?
Yeah.
Lipitor, because it sounds like a superhero.
Oh, I guess it does,
Lipitor.
Actually. That is true. What was the name of that guy in Transformers? One of those Tor guys. Anyway. So, all right. So the cholesterol
right.
drugs
yeah,
are still.
Yeah, so those kinds of drugs are popular.
And high blood pressure.
A lot of this, like. The high blood pressure, you know, they're cheap. The ones for high blood pressure, we don't do a good job with high blood pressure, honestly, with the pills. People really need to, like, meditate and lose weight and take a walk every now and again.
But
you know,
they don't, so they get a pill.
Life from,
I mean, that's kind of how it works.
I know, because they have a pill. We're a pill-loving culture, I'll tell you.
See,
but
I don't
it's going
like
to take a little
pills.
Bit more than that.
At
you,
all.
But you don't take any. You don't take any natural pills, though. Like you know,
I take vitamin D.
See,
a
that's
really
a pill.
Good natural vitamin D.
You live in San Diego. You don't need vitamin D. You go
no,
outside.
No, I need. I live in Ohio. I need vitamin D.
I don't. Do I look tan?
You do sort of look
no,
tan.
No, I'm not.
Have you seen White Wade? All right.
That's so funny.
All right. So what else? I'm just curious. Like if we could run down sort of like a let's do like a Sports Center thing right now. Like our top 10. Pill list of the day. So, like, you got the Lipitor.
Where are the opiates?
Yeah, where are the opiates, right? Those have got to be
oh,
in there
somewhere.
Oh,
they're up there. Oh, my gosh, yes. Well, that's a whole other show, right? Prescription drug addiction and the opiates leading to heroin. We have a big problem in Ohio with that. I've worked with
Ohio.
The local board in Akron to do, yeah, like, we did a summit to figure out what we can do about the prescription drug addiction problem. Pain is an absolute huge problem in reality. We've got to treat that with opiates, but on the other side, people are getting addicted and they're selling them. Adderall, that's a big one. The amphetamines and the ADHD for the kids.
Okay,
I have kids who have ADHD, but then they're college. Then I know my college kid friend, my kids are in college, and their friends are always talking about their dorm mates trying to sell them their Adderall. That's a big problem.
So
that's a whole other thing.
It's so funny because I went to the dentist. I need to have fillings replaced, one on either side of my mouth. Well, the first time I walked in, I was so anxious and really scared about doing this because I just don't like that. And the doctor's like, Mary, why didn't you say something? I would give you a Xanax. So he gave me a one Xanax. He goes, take this before you come back next week. Well, he did such a fabulous job. I didn't take it. Still sitting in my cupboard. And or the prescription is. But I went to lunch with like seven of my friends, and they went around the table. Every single one of them took a sleeping med, anti-anxiety, mm-hmm. anti-depression.
Yeah.
I was the only one that did not pop a pill every day.
Yeah.
What's that?
Well,
me too.
Now your friends
I'm the
are going to come over and take that out of your cabinet.
I know.
Yeah, right?
All right, so
after my Xanax.
Wait, so where's
it's
like Valium?
Xanax, that's a big one.
Yeah, all right, so Valium's still pretty popular, right? So Valium's got to be on that list, or at least something similar, right?
Xanax, yeah, it's Xanax. It's shorter acting, and the antidepressants are up there because everybody is, you know, that's a big problem. Depression and anxiety are really kind of the same disease, so those drugs are still pretty popular. And then there's...
The sex pills have to be on there, right? I mean, Viagra, Cialis, you know.
Viagra's up there, I think. Yeah, Viagra, Cialis.
Get it? Viagra's up there. It's up there right now. Sorry, Mary. Watch the desk. It's good. No. All right, so what else, though? Because I know, like, some of the pain pills, like you were talking about, but what's the other, I mean, you got, how about, like, is there any, did that weight loss whole thing, did that really take over where they had the prescription weight loss medicine?
We don't do well with that. There's a few new drugs on the market. I always ask the people how it's working. It's kind of one of those things where they want one pill to take away their cravings for sugar, to stop their emotional eating and, mm-hmm. you know, make them thin instantly, and it just doesn't exist. So we have all these unrealistic expectations for our pills, unfortunately.
Internet marketers
and
have taken that one over.
And the weight loss drugs aren't doing it.
Right, yeah, exactly.
What?
As internet marketers have taken that one over now with their magic pills.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so let me ask you this. It's hard to believe, but the fun is almost over here, which I'm sad about.
Yeah, 2 minutes.
I know. So let me ask you this. If you were to sit down with some of your fellow practitioners, I mean, obviously you're trying to reinvent the pharmacist game, which is all cool, and I get that. What's the one piece of advice that you would give one of your peers who is maybe thinking like, God, I don't really like what I'm doing? What sort of advice would you give them?
Well, if they really don't like what they're doing, we have to take a look at why that is. And a lot of the reason why is they're really not taking care of themselves. The best advice I could give anybody is take care of yourself. Find some time for joy in your life. Eat good food. Exercise. You can't be dealing with sickness and anxiety and depression and sad, horrible things every day and not replenish yourself in one way. Find something that you love to do. Spend some time on that. Take your own care incredibly seriously, because when you are able to do that, then you show up for work as a better person and you do find some happiness and joy. And then if you can't, in that case, maybe start a little side gig like I did. I have helped mm-hmm. many pharmacists start little something on the side, but you got to take care of yourself first. I know it sounds so simple, but we've lost track of caring for ourselves.
Yeah, no, I hear you. All right, so
we don't see our value.
Well, thanks so much for coming on, and if you guys want more information about Mary Sheehan, just check out prescriptionsforhappiness.com. And, you know, I mean, look, from my perspective as a pharmacist, we were talking about this on the break as well. I mean, it's just like, you don't see happy people. Like, happy people aren't coming up to you going, hey, you know, hey, how you doing? You know, let's just hang out and talk. They're coming up to you going, I'm sick. And they're like coughing all over you. Or they're like, they're showing you their, like, their kid's toe. Like, hey, look at my kid's toe. You know, like, what's going on here? And so you got like this pus filled thing on your counter. And it's just like,
I mean, that's so gross.
It is. But I mean, at the same token, when you think about like depression among pharmacists and whatnot, this isn't like, you know, people are coming in and just saying, you know, hey, how are you doing? Let's chat, that kind of thing. They're going there for a solution. And usually the solution that they are looking for, you know, is something that is dealing, you know, on the negative side of the equation, some sort of pain, some sort of sickness, some sort of something. So, I mean, I kind of get it. But at the same token, it's sad when you look at, like she was saying, I mean, the suicide rates and the depression and whatnot. And there are a lot. I mean, there's got to be millions of people in the industry.
Right. And that's what I was saying. I mean, even the dentist is handing out Xanax. Oh, here, take this. I'm like, dude, I don't
know. And by the way, I do every time. So, like, anytime I go anywhere and the doctor's like, you know, do you need a prescription for this, that, or the other? I'm like, absolutely. Because
do you
really? Because I know if I'm not going to use it, I know Rich will. So.
You can start selling it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a dark
side. Yeah, not saying that I would do such a thing, but I might. All right, so very cool. Prescriptionsforhappiness.com. Mary Sheehan there. And, wow, more on Reinvention Radio next time. We'll talk to you really soon.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.